Yes. Our reading today is from Proverbs chapter 19, verses 20 to 23. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. What a man desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble.
Thank you, Liz, and good morning, everyone. I shared this passage that we've just heard read from Proverbs. I shared it at our online prayer meeting on Wednesday, and then I shared it again in our weekly email bulletin, and it's not going away. So it is now today's sermon for us, our sermon passage today, and it's a wonderful reminder for us. Also, in today's sermon, we tried our best. This is a note for the Oak Tree youth. We tried our best, and I've managed to get it working on my laptop to turn my face into a potato. The youth shared their wisdom with us on Friday night about how to be a potato on Zoom, a talking potato with just your teeth and your eyes showing. It's marvelous, marvelous. But we couldn't quite get it to work through here, and maybe that's a good thing because, you know, it's a little bit hard to focus. Or I don't know, is it easier to focus on a potato? We all love potato. Potato is wonderful. Anyway, if you would like to find out how to do that for yourself, we have some teenagers who are experts, and I'm sure they would love to share their tech wisdom and bless us with their potato-y insights. Anyway, let me pray as we begin. Lord, would you open our hearts to receive your word for us today, the word that you would have us hear? Holy Spirit, thank you for breathing your life through the scriptures for us today. Amen. So, Proverbs 19, verse 20 says, "Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise." Well, we have been given a lot of advice from our state and federal governments. We might not like it. Some of it is, we might think, arbitrary and even petty. The restrictions are quite an extraordinary blanket ban on a whole range of activities that would actually be safe and not spread a virus. But nevertheless, Victoria has listened to the advice in the past, and Australia and New Zealand have been the envy of the rest of the world. We are, in the world's eyes, counted among the wise. At least from a global perspective, my friends who live overseas, they look at us here and they would reinforce for us this proverb: listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you'll be counted among the wise. Now, they might not say that according to our vaccine rollout, you know, that all of a sudden we're finding fresh enthusiasm for it, but perhaps that too reinforces the proverb as well. Listen to advice and you'll be counted among the wise. Now, there's a whole other conversation to be had about good advice and bad advice, but that is more than enough political commentary from me right now. The Proverbs goes on to say, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Well, how about this for a week of plans and preparations having to be made and then adjusted and then scrapped and then new plans being made? And I'm sure some of you We'll be experiencing the decision-making fatigue that comes with assessing options, trying to forecast the future scenarios. You know, what's best? What is going to be the winning option that is going to fulfill my plans and purposes? Well, this proverb comes as a stark reminder that there's only ever one plan and purpose that unfolds. It's the one that God allows. And I know that at the end of that unfolding plan, there is a renewed heaven and earth where everything comes together in harmony under the lordship of Jesus. And if you shift into the next proverb, what a person desires is unfailing love. What a person desires is unfailing love. When I get caught up in all the decisions that need to be made, when I get caught up in everything that I lose because of lockdown, when I have all the extra cravings for sugar to get me through 7 days of house arrest, I need to remember that what I actually desire, what I truly need from the core of my being and out through every fiber of my being, is unfailing love. I just want to know that I am loved with a love that never fails, and I just want to experience that love. So friends, how amazing is it that God, the author, the sustainer of life, decided to write himself into the script that he would enter the arena in the person of Jesus. And he said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then he expresses the greatest love with his arms outstretched on a cross to die for us, that we can be called a friend of God, that we can be called sons and daughters of God. We're adopted into his family. God chooses us to be a part of his life and kingdom of love. As Christians, we are given the great ability to say that last proverb there, the fear of the Lord leads to life, then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Our hearts can rest with great contentedness, even when there is trouble. Our peacefulness, our hope can be untouched by it. In the middle of a pandemic, lots of people are faced with the question of where is purpose and meaning in life? What is the point of life? Is it just staring at a screen, making sourdough and hoarding toilet paper? Well, there's this thing called the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which means there's a longer version of the Westminster Catechism. But a catechism is a tool for learning the Christian faith. Usually it's a whole list of questions with answers that you memorize. And there's a question in there. What is the chief end of man? Meaning, what is the primary purpose of being human? What's the main game? What's the meaning of life? The answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Not to put up with God, but to actually enjoy him forever. And Tim Chester has this great little book. I'm not sure if you can see it from there, but it's red and it's called Enjoying God. It's a wonderful seasonal book. So even just looking at the chapter headings are called, in every pleasure we can enjoy the Father's generosity. In every hardship we can enjoy the Father's formation. In every prayer we can enjoy the Father's welcome. In every failure we can enjoy the Son's grace. In every pain we can enjoy the Son's presence. In every supper we can enjoy the Son's touch. In every temptation we can enjoy the Spirit's life. In every groan, we can enjoy the Spirit's hope. In every word, we can enjoy the Spirit's voice. In one another, we can enjoy God's love. In daily repentance and faith, we can enjoy God's freedom. Just the chapter headings are an encouragement for every season in life. But the chapter on hardship opens with these questions. What's God doing? It's easy to see how the good things of life might be opportunities to enjoy God, but what about the hardships? What about traffic jams, screaming babies, chronic illness, sleepless nights, unreasonable bosses, personal conflict, broken promises, nuisance neighbors, unfulfilled hopes? And what might we add to the list? Lockdown number 4. Businesses going under. Unemployment. Well, Tim Chester then quotes from Hebrews chapter 12, which says, "And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son.'" Now, just quickly, discipline is not punishment. Often we can mean by discipline punishment, but punishment is, you know, you've done something bad, you're punished for the consequences. Discipline is much more about learning and growing, being a disciple of something, moving towards a way of being and developing good habits. It goes on to say in the Bible in Hebrews, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, true sons and daughters at all." Endure hardship. You might be feeling a hardship right now. Endure it as discipline. In your mind and your heart, there is a perspective to put on, a pair of glasses in which to see our present reality. The perspective on hardship is to view it as discipline. And then amazingly, you will then see hardship as proof of your legitimacy, proof that you are truly sons and daughters of God. So what if lockdown number 4 was another training in righteousness? It was another opportunity for us to grow in Christ-likeness. And what if God was wanting to raise up a bunch of overseas Christian workers who could share God's love and bring his peace across the globe? You know, an overseas missionary or aid and development worker might spend a lot of time isolated. They might not see friends and family in person for years. They might need to do most of their communication through Zoom. They might have to learn how to adapt and change plans within 12 hours. What would be a great training environment for that? Well, it's absolutely everything that we're doing right now. We're being disciplined in these skills right now. And please hear me clearly, I'm not saying God has brought this lockdown on everyone just for a few overseas workers in the future. But we do know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works for the good. The perspective to be had is that in all things, God works for good. In hardship, God works for good. And what we should be looking out for is the training and the discipline available to us. What is the correction and formation of our behaviors that grow us up into all maturity? What if Oak Tree, as a church, you know, we're heading in this direction. We're doing the things we're doing on a Sunday and throughout the week. We have these volunteers, we have these things that we appreciate about worship, and we have these finances, and we have this property that we're stewards of, and here are the people that we're reaching. What if God has this kind of a picture in mind for us at Oak Tree? What if he's inviting this many people to worship him and to know and love Jesus? Well, for that to happen, that shift to happen, it requires a change in our behavior. Not just a new staff team, but the whole church needs to readjust and be ready to embrace this. The readjustment requires discipline, learning new behaviors, a new way of being, and even enjoying God in that time of formation. God is lovingly forming us into Christ-likeness. We are becoming like Jesus. Sometimes that involves taking up our cross and following him. It's more than uncomfortable. It is painful and even disheartening. I've started going to a gym because I've hit a point in life where my muscles and bones are saying to me, use them or lose them. And it's painful and disheartening to hold a plank position on an exercise ball and how hard that is when my kids can do it without a problem. But I do it because it leads to an increased capacity. I do the discipline because it leads to an increased capacity. Now, friends, we don't need to call bad things good. Evil is still evil. But it's what happens in God's hands that we look to and see him produce good from hardship. It's what God does through hardship that we look to. And some of us might have had parents who modeled unhealthy discipline for us as children. And of course, for myself as a father, I know my discipline that I try to bring to the household is below God's loving standard. I can try to train my kids for my sake because I lack patience or wisdom and I have my own frustrations. But God disciplines out of pure love, with abundant holiness and blessing and with amazing outcomes in mind. Tim Chester writes about discipline. God disciplines us to refine our faith, wean us from idols, unsettle our self-reliance, display his power, and direct us heavenwards. Above all, he disciplines us so that we turn from futile sources of joy, those small things of joy, to find big joy, true joy in him. And so what this means is that, yes, we can weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And much of the world is actually rejoicing at having their death rate coming down, a death rate coming down, and they're rejoicing. So we can rejoice with them that the burden is easing, and yet we weep with those who are losing loved ones each and every day. We weep at the suffering and feelings of hopelessness that many are facing. And so through all of this, we can grow in our enjoyment of God. We can grow in that fundamental purpose of life that we are gifted in, to enjoy God forever, starting now. We can praise him and bless his name, even when our pandemic bubble gets popped briefly and we have to work to get it back. And in times of hardship, I'm always reminded of Job when I'm tempted to complain or despair. Now, Job encountered a string of disasters that culminates in this. It says, while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said to Job, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. How does Job respond to devastation, hardship, beyond hardship? At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. So he's mourning, he's weeping. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's where that song comes from. It comes from Job. And it says, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. It's so tempting to charge God with wrongdoing, to say, God, you've made a mistake here, and to dismiss the bigger story of what is happening. Job sees that he came naked from his mother's womb. All of life is a gift, not an entitlement, and he will depart with nothing from this world. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So friends, may you have eyes to see the harvest of righteousness that God is training you in right now. Whatever that might be, whatever training in righteousness that you might find right now, I pray that you have eyes to see it. And may we all have the heart to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.